SEN America. This is the SEN MLB podcast.
G'day everybody and welcome to SEN Baseball. All-Star Game approaching as it is now 13 July, I believe. San Diego will be the All-Star Game. We'll get to some information about that shortly. But before we get there, former Detroit Tiger joining us today, Russell Spear. Russ, welcome.
Morning, Fritter. Morning, everyone.
How are you?
We're doing all right.
That's the way, mate. Also joining us behind mic number two, part of the SEN America team, Xavier Player.
Fritter, how are you, mate?
Woo-hoo. I'm going well. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Finally behind the mic. He'd be very happy little camper today.
Absolutely.
Got a big smile on his face, hasn't he?
He's seen dancing around outside. Wow. Wouldn't he be happy, eh? As I mentioned, All-Star Game coming up. We've got a bunch of stuff to get through today. Of course, the very, very busy Australian schedule, which we'll be going through. I have touched on it over the last couple of weeks, how busy the schedule is for Australian baseball, and is it too busy? And some of these teams getting diluted because it's so busy. We'll run through that a little bit later on. We're going to go through some All-Star squads and the like. But before we get there, I'm going to just touch on some of the standings over there in the US at the moment in the American League East. The Baltimore Orioles just ticking away, still leading the way. They're two games ahead of Toronto Blue Jays. The Baltimore Orioles have gone 5-5 in their last 10 games. In the American League Central, Cleveland Indians are leading the way there, 6-4 in their last 10 games, leading Detroit Tigers by 6.5 games. Russ, yeah, Detroit, it just pops into my head. I know it's a question without notice. Do you watch Detroit fondly in these days? I know you watch games when you can at home, but do you have a soft spot for the Detroit Tigers when you watch baseball?
Yeah, I do. I don't watch much baseball, as we all know. I'm not much of a baseball guy anymore.
Yeah, I just do a baseball radio show. That's all.
I tend to watch mates more than I tend to watch games of baseball. Yep. To be honest with you, but yeah, it's certainly got a soft spot for the Tigers. Obviously, a few mates still running around there, but I probably spend more energy watching blokes like Moylan and Warwick Saupold and those kind of guys, more than necessarily games.
And another one, of course, coming on later on in the show, we're going to have a chat with Shane Lindsay, former big leaguer with Chicago White Sox. Going to have a chat with him, a teammate of yours, out at the Essendon Baseball Club, five-time championship-winning club, the Essendon Baseball Club. And also we're going to have a chat with Dean Marnell, the head manager of the Cal Ripken team that's going to be heading over to Aberdeen in Maryland, United States, for the Cal Ripken tournament over there. We're going to catch up with them a little bit later on in the show. But continuing with the standings, the American League West, Texas Rangers lead the way there over Houston. So Houston are 6.5 games back. Texas have gone 3-7 in their last 10 games. So just a little mini slump there for the Texas Rangers. Moving to the National League in the National League East, the Washington Nationals leading the way there. They've gone 6-4 in their last 10 games, leading the New York Mets by 3 games. Holding up last place there is the Atlanta Braves, 21.5 games back. The old stinky poo Atlanta Braves, not so flash in the National League Central. The old Cubs keep ticking away. They're going beautifully. 52-33 is their win-loss. Chicago Cubs gone 3-7 in their last 10, leading St. Louis Cardinals are in second place. They're 8 games back. Cincinnati holding up the rear there, 20 games behind. And in the National League West, the San Francisco Giants leading the way there. They've gone 5-5 in their last 10 games, leading the Los Angeles Dodgers, who have just been a bit of a mini slump at the moment. They're in second place at 6.5 games back, with the Arizona Diamondbacks in last place there in the National League West. They are 16 games into last place.
And six and a half games up this time of the year is a pretty big lead to have.
It is, but as you would know as well, it's like 1 week.
Yeah, it is.
You know, when it comes down to the amount of games that they actually play, it can be 1 week where the top team just has a mini slump and you have a good little roll.
Yeah.
Within no time, you can be back to one game back, 2 games back. But just on that, of course, as you touched on there, Russ, the Dodgers, 6.5 back at San Francisco. St. Louis Cardinals, 8 games behind. These are all the second place teams I'm looking at here, folks. New York Mets are 3 games back, so they're right there. Houston Astros are 6.5 games behind in second place. Detroit, 6.5 games behind in second place. And the close one, Baltimore and Toronto, the Toronto Blue Jays, are only 2 games back, so they're doing nicely at the moment.
The interesting one for me there, Fritter, is the Houston Astros. They had a terrible start to the season and at one point found themselves about a dozen games back. And there was a bit of doom and gloom there. Oh, is the season over already? What do they need to do? And as you said before, it only takes a week and a half of good results on both ends, and they're right back in it despite being that 6.5 games back.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Toronto just this week went, for example, Baltimore Orioles in first place. They went 5-5 in their last 10. And the Toronto Blue Jays have gone 8-2. So you just take a month of baseball like that, and all of a sudden Toronto's like leading the way in that division. Yep. So, you know, you can stick with it. The other notable last 10, there hasn't been many. As I mentioned, Texas have gone 3-7 in their last 10, so they've lost a little bit of ground there to Houston, who went 7-3. So they've flip-flopped their last 10 there. You know, as I said, Washington have gone 6-4. New York Mets 7-3. In their last 10. To me, that's a real indicator, the last 10. They do have the win-loss streaks and all of these sorts of things, but how teams are sitting in those last 10 games is, to me, all important.
You mentioned the Dodgers have had a bit of a rough patch, and they've gone 16 straight games without a 7-inning start, which is the longest streak that team's had in 7 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and of course, we did talk last week, Clayton Kershaw down with the back. I'm not sure how serious that was, or whether, I know they did put him on a DL there for a little bit. So, you know, he may be the barometer for that team. When, you know, you'd hate to say, but if there's no Kershaw, there's no Dodgers. You know, there's usually a 25-man playing team and a 40-man roster and all these sorts of things. So it's never a one-man team. But, gee, well, the signs that we've seen in this early part of the season, Clayton Kershaw's a real linchpin for whether the Dodgers have success.
Yeah, not many Clayton Kershaws floating around, though.
There's not a lot, is there? No. He's been really phenomenal, has Clayton Kershaw, for the Dodgers. We're going to move on to, of course, the All-Star game, which we have touched on briefly over the last couple of weeks, that it was all coming up, and the starting lineups have been read out there for the starting lineups for the National League. I'll take a look at first. And starting lineup for the National League, Buster Posey's going to be catching for the National League. At first base will be Anthony Rizzo. And this is the first time since the clubby you've been on this, the 60s?
I believe the Reds in the 60s had an all-Reds infield for an All-Star game. Hasn't happened since then. 63, I think.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's a long time between drinks. But tremendous performance by Chicago Cubs to have the all-starting infield. As I said, Buster Posey, Giants, will be doing the catching. And Anthony Rizzo from the Cubs will be at first base. Ben Zorbrist from the Cubs will be at second base. Chris Bryant from the Cubs will be at third base.
That's a good effort. Second year of big league baseball, isn't it?
Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
And the broomstick is something phenomenal.
Wow.
Boy, can he crush.
Oh,
he has
God.
Been crushing some balls. Shortstop will be Addison Russell from the Cubs. And in the outfield, of course, Yunis Cespedes from the Mets. Dexter Fowler from the Cubs. Another Kobe. That's 5 in the starting 9. Pretty phenomenal effort. And the other outfielder, of course, is Bryce How's My Hair Harper from the Nationals. But the American League starting lineup.
Well, for me, the American League starting lineup with Salvador Perez, with the Royals, with his teammate Eric Hosmer at first base, Jose Altuve at second, Manny Machado from the Orioles at third base, with Xander, is it Bogarts?
Bogarts.
Yep.
Ah, Henry's. What was Bogart? Who's the famous Bogart?
Humphrey. He's an actor.
Audrey Hepburn and What was it, playing against Sam? Never actually said that
Casablanca?
Line.
Casablanca?
Never said it.
Gone with the Wind, one or the other? I always get them confused.
Casablanca. Never said it in the movie, but for some reason somebody made up, played against
stuck
Sam.
With him.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. In the outfield, Mookie Betts, Jackie Bradley Jr. from the Red Sox, also Mike Trout. Walk-up start with the Angels. And David Ortiz, who on his farewell tour, obviously worth the shout. You know, I mean, he's smashing the ball all over the place.
Yeah.
Farewell tour is underway. Sympathy vote, no.
No. There's no way this is a sympathy vote because he is putting up career numbers. You know, he's the Boston Red Sox may as well hang their hat on Ortiz because he's keeping them in it now.
Absolutely, he is. Question without notice for both of you. If this was a 7-game series between these two sides with both of these sides going out at 100%, who would you have?
Right. Oh, this is a question.
It is indeed.
You've got two, nufties here.
While you're thinking, I'll have a go here. I would go with the National League purely because of that all-Cubs infield. I think that having half your team from one squad in a short notice 7-game series would create that bit of chemistry that the American League would be lacking. Obviously, we don't have a pitching rotation here. That would completely change everything. But I'd think the National League would probably win that series in 6 games.
Okay. Well answered, Ross.
And I agree with that, actually. That's good.
There's nothing better than somebody asking a question and answering it themselves
He's been sleeping on that for 2 days. He said, I'll stitch these two up.
Just giving you some time while you're having a look.
Stitched. Here we go. The first thing I did was start looking at the pitching. Who's your possible starters in all this? Of course, Jake Arrieta from the Cubs just adds to your sort of thoughts Cubs-wise on that, having a team that gels. Madison Baumgartner, of course, the great hitting Madison Baumgartner. Do you, Russ, put your Bruce Bochy? Apparently it's the biggest hat in baseball.
It is a massive bonce. It is.
There was a little to and fro between them regards to Baumgartner wanted to hit in the home run derby.
Oh, right.
Wanted to be a part of that and has been applauded for his swing. A lot of great hitters have said, this guy can seriously play, you know. Would like to hit for himself. Wants the rules bent a little bit to be able to hit for himself. If you're Bruce Bochy, do you let him in the All-Star game and sort of twofold? Do you, for the rest of the year, do you focus on trying to let him hit because it makes him a better pitcher? How do you look at that sort of area?
My initial reaction would be no. Just pitch, and we're just really fortunate that you can swing a bat and you extend our lineup. But in saying that, he's quality. He is quality, and you've got to run with what's best for your club. If it helps him pitching-wise and it takes his mind away from, or the focus away from pitching, and that works best for him, then yes, because that's best for your club.
Yeah.
But as a general rule, I'd say no, because you let the hitters hit and you pitch.
Are we not giving some of these pitchers enough credit? Now, take this the right way, right?
Yeah,
I'm just going to blow some smoke here for a second, right? There are athletes that are able to pitch and hit.
Yeah,
Bartolo Colon.
Big sexy. Big sexy's on the All-Star team. Look at this guy go. He is phenomenal. There are guys, the best players, and what I'm sort of thinking of, the best players that we have here in Australia tend to be our starting pitcher, and he's our best hitter as well. Then they get pigeonholed somewhere along the way into being either a pitcher or a hitter. If they were able to keep up the art of or the craft of hitting, could some of these guys be better hitters than what they actually are?
Well, I'd put this into practice here in Australia. Peter Moylan's probably our most successful pitcher.
Yes.
Before going to America to pitch, he was our most successful hitter.
He could crush.
He
was a great hitter.
Absolutely crush. Yeah. So, but if you put a baseball bat in Peter's hands now without him, you know, practicing and executing the craft, he's no good.
Yeah.
He's no good.
But if he had continued all along, you know,
he's a good mate of mine, but he could absolutely flat out rake.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely rake.
I know every weekend you would hear, Moylan hit another one.
Yeah.
The thing went 600 feet. Oh my God. Everybody rave about it. And of course, he went off and now pitches in the big leagues with Kansas City Royals. But that's sort of a perfect example. If he was able to continue yeah, you go and do your bullpen and you've got 5 days off, whatever it may be. Just take some hacks in the cage there.
Yes. With some people, obviously, better athletes than others. But in Peter's case, I would say if he was able to continue to practice and hit, yeah, he'd be an asset. And I honestly think in a big league environment, he'd still be an asset.
Yeah, right. And just sort of on topic but off topic, slight sidestep is, of course, I've continually talked about Asian baseball since I was over at Premier 12. I follow that a little more closely now. And the ace for the Japanese team, a player by the name of Shohei Ohtani. He's now 22 years of age, stands about 6'4". This guy's a phenomenal athlete. Last week, broke the speed record in Japan through over 101 mile an hour.
I've seen that.
But just this month of June, right, in his pitching, he went 4-0, got a .29 ERA, 41 strikeouts in 30 innings, and he's currently hitting .341. He's hit 10 bombs, two doubles and 27 RBIs, and pitched a game the other day where he threw a shutout, led off for his team and hit a home run. So he's up 1-0 before he's done anything and then goes out and throws a shutout. So,
wow.
You know, you know, and I'm just sort of using, and he's got a 30-inning scoreless streak going right now. But you know that one day, of course, MLB is going to come calling. I think he's still got 5 or 6 years that he needs to play over NPB before he's eligible to move across to Major League. He's already been tagged as the next Yu Darvish. But once MLB get their hands on it, they'll take the bat out of his hand. I mean, it tends to be that mentality. This guy's obviously a phenomenal hitter. Yeah, it's maybe not be seeing Major League stuff every day, but you can't tell me Japanese big league stuff's not up there or as good as some of the Major League stuff that's going around, but a phenomenal athlete.
No, 100%, but he also might be one out of the box too. You know, as a baseball organisation, put your business hat on. Are they protecting their asset by not letting him hit? Or are they doing themselves a disservice by not allowing him to hit? So, yeah. You know, how does it work? But there's not too many blokes around that are capable of doing that.
That's true. There's not a lot that are capable. But it's sort of a question. It's one of those what ifs. You need a crystal ball for it. Will he be a better pitcher if he's allowed to hit?
Yeah.
Or will he be a better pitcher because you take the hitting side out of it and he can focus all his energies on the pitching side of things?
Obviously, it all comes to him pretty naturally. That's pretty evident from looking at his stat line. Works hard, but if it's something that comes to him naturally, I know the designated hitter is being phased into the National League by the looks of it, which I think is a bit of a detriment because we're going to see guys like this bloke and guys like Bumgarner not have the bat in their hands, and I think that takes away from some of the natural spectacle.
Mm. So are you voting for DH right across baseball?
Anti.
Anti-DH.
Anti.
And we've got a head shake over here as well. So you got three against. Which way do you...
No, I agree. I don't like the DH, to be honest with you. I'd rather see the guys battle it out, the pitchers battle it out.
And it brings a little more tactics into it.
Correct.
But, and as we try to do, we try to balance an argument here when it comes to the selling of the game, the marketing and bringing along... more supporters and fans to the game, they want to see home runs. They want to see more runs. It's hard to have a 10-year-old kid who you're trying to get interested in baseball to make him sit through a 1-0 shutout. That is absolutely a pure pitcher's duel. Ideally, you want the kid to see a 15-13 game with lots of runs and people running around, dancing girls and all the hoo-ha.
I understand that. But as a bit of a purist, I more appreciate the tactical components of it all. The guys off the bench become a whole lot more important. Your bullpen becomes a whole lot more important. And I personally enjoy that component of the game more than 500 footers, to be honest with you.
We did pay, well, you're a purist. You're used to shutting guys out. That's all you ever did.
That's not the case.
We talked it last week with regards to this Bumgarner thing in that is the guy with the big bonce is Bruce Bochy.
Yeah.
Has he got no faith in his bench? Is he's brought this guy up to DH in the team? And no, the pitcher's hitting for himself, mate. Works a bit of both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, and again, that's still a tactical move, isn't it? I mean, if you got a guy like Bumgarner who can obviously swing the bat as good as most blokes in the league, and he's a better option because he can roll back out there and pitch another inning. Again, it's a tactical move, and if it works best for his team at the time, then you do what you got to do.
And it's worked beautifully for him so far. Baumgartner seems to handle the bat and go out and pitch no problems and do nothing but throw wins. So he's been phenomenal for San Francisco Giants. We're not far off heading to a break, but I'm just going to change tact for a moment. And again, over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about the busy schedule that is Australian baseball. And I've had the SEN America research team put some stuff together just regards to the baseball that is happening right now over starting this week and over the next, say, 2 to 2.5 months. You ever thought there was a busy schedule? Just check this out for a second. July 11, the senior Little League World team is heading to the Philippines. Of course, that's our very own Brendan Wilson, and Jack Lana won't be able to make the team, but Brendan Wilson's taking that senior Little League team to the Philippines. Of course, the Honk Ball tournament, we're about to talk to Shane Lindsay in a moment. One of the starting pitchers will be part of that Honk Ball team. They're heading to the Netherlands, July 15, just this week coming up. The Under-15 World Cup is happening July 29. The Cal Ripken team, we're also going to chat with Dean Marnell, the head manager of the Cal Ripken team. That's happening, starts July 29. There's the Junior Little League, which Cronulla won earlier in the year. That goes August 14. There's the Little League World Series, which Hills from Australia is going to represent at August 18 to 28. There is, and this one I've had trouble, sorry, the SEN America research team has had trouble finding much information on this one, but there's an under-17 team playing over, under-17 Australian team playing over in Europe at the moment. Not exactly sure how or why or what, excuse me, but there is a team representing over there at the moment. Add that to the Women's World Cup, which is happening in Korea, September 3. Add to that the Under-23 World Cup happening in Mexico in October 28 to November 11. Add to that Ryan Roland-Smith and Trent Olchan have their next-gen baseball tours, which is a pay-per-use trip to the US where they get training and all the like. Add to that the World Kids Baseball Fair is happening in August, August 17. Add to that the Major League Academy that's happening at Service Paradise at the moment. Do you think, is somehow our baseball going to get diluted slightly with all of that happening? Right, number one, I don't think they've got people to run this stuff, but is it diluting the talent leading into some of these national teams?
I don't think it's going to get diluted. I think it already has been. I think we're in a position now, you've just listed off close to a dozen tournaments, camps, academies, things like that, and we just don't have that quality level of player to be best representing the game in this country at every single one of those events.
Look, for me, it's two-pronged for me. I'm raptor that there's all these teams available for these kids to play on because we need kids participating in this game. I think that's a big positive in all this. But two, I do agree, if you're having the Australian team as the pinnacle of your age group and to go and represent Australia, and there's half a dozen Australian teams in a similar age group representing us, then are you truly getting the best, you know, 20 kids in one club? It's hard to do. There's a lot of peripheral teams, it seems. So, I'm glad that there's opportunities for these kids because they sort of weren't there when I was a kid, and Frieder, I'm sure you're the same, that they weren't necessarily available to you.
One team back then, one team, one state, one team. That's it.
Again, it's twofold for me, but I'm glad they're playing, but I would like to see it a bit more structured than that.
And this sort of, the idea of it came about through having Brendan Wilson on the show, of course, as I mentioned, the manager of the senior Little League team heading to the Philippines, where he sort of just off air, he just touched on that a couple of his players will be unavailable because they're heading to the Under-15 World Cup. So my concern sort of comes from, well, that now you build teams to get some camaraderie, to get a good vibe, to use the castle as an analogy, to have a good vibe about your team. But unfortunately, couple of players get taken. It just helps dilute the talent down a little bit. It was, and let's not forget also there's an ABL in there. Somehow we've got to get this ABL up and running.
And it's probably a little bit of timing too for us. It is our winter. It's not our baseball season as such. So these kids are going into these tournaments probably not with the preparation that would be ideal.
Yep.
But at the same time, again, it's an opportunity.
Yeah, and look, if you've played for Australia, you've played for Australia. And that's a big thing for these kids.
But which teams are sanctioned to be Australian? I'm a little unsure on that.
I've not faced a live pitch in my life, so I can't say, well, I'd preference this above this. And I'm sure that those kids are getting advice from coaches and parents and former players to say, well, this is the team that is the one that we think takes priority. But why isn't that statement being made to the Australian baseball public?
Yeah. No, that's true. That's it's something that maybe the lines of communication could be opened up a little bit. Look, we're just about to go to a break. We can get Shane Lindsay, former major leaguer with the Chicago White Sox, on the line in just a moment. But just for the little update, we're going to have a little gossip corner for 30 seconds. And that gossip corner, as it stands right now, we have talked about MLB pulling out of the Australian Baseball League. The reports that I have heard, gossip-wise, and it's only gossip I'm stressing, is that state bodies may be going to run the individual teams. And a name that I have heard linked with the Melbourne Aces team, if it does go ahead, is the great Matthew Sheldon Collins.
Very interesting.
Russ?
Don't know enough about it. I'm not sure just yet. I'm sitting on the fence.
It's an interesting one.
I know it's a gossip corner, and I can probably say anything.
See,
but
that's why
I'm just.
I should have said
sure.
allegedly six times before that. No, but look, I have heard Maddie's name. But what I will say, just to balance it all out, I have heard 1,000 names on people that have and may and want. Let's at least hear that we've got a league to start with, because it's no good having coaches announced and, of course, members signing up and all of this sort of stuff if you don't have a league. But, look, that's talk for another time. Hopefully we'll hear something over the next week or two, but we've got to go to a short break. Clubbies, clip me around the ears enough here. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to SEN Baseball.
Baseball is the largest spectator sport in the world. In 2015 alone, over 73 million people attended professional games in the United States, with 65 million people playing in over 100 countries around the world. Baseball is the world's second largest participation sport. Baseball is truly a game that everyone can enjoy. It's free to try and cheap to play, but most importantly, it's fun for all. From T-ball and Little League to seniors and masters, for the young and the young at heart, baseball is the perfect game for boys and girls and moms and dads too. With over 105 local clubs in Victoria, get started by going to www.baseballvictoria.com.au to see how you can get involved today.
And welcome back to SEN Baseball. Joining us on the line now, former big leaguer with the Chicago White Sox and recently just got picked back on the Australian national team to represent at the Honkerball tournament in the Netherlands, Shane Lindsay. Shane, are you there?
Yes, mate, yes. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, mate. Great to... congratulations getting back on the national team. You were out of baseball for a little while there with some arm surgery, Tommy John surgery, I believe. How do you feel that your arm is now compared to what it was like prior to the surgery? Do you feel as strong as you've ever been right now?
Oh, look, I wouldn't say as strong. Probably the command's back better than it... Much, much better than it was pre-surgery. But I'm definitely not the high 90s that we used to sort of get up to. You know, low 90s if I'm lucky. But, definitely not what I was.
So, Shane, Russell here. How are you, mate?
Good, mate.
Hey, so, Shane, what does it mean to you to get the opportunity again to represent Australia? Is this potentially an opening for you to play baseball again? We all know how electric your stuff is, but is it something that you want to pursue from now on, or are you happy to play for Australia and obviously here in Melbourne? Is this something you want to achieve again, or have you got goals in mind?
Oh, definitely. Look, it's something that I fell back in love with the game recently, as I'm pretty sure you're aware of. But, look, the Aces last year really sort of rejuvenated my enthusiasm a bit in the game and enjoyment in the game, and sort of I think the time away and a bit of a physical break did me well. So I'm definitely back into enjoying it, and I'd love the opportunity to go back and play, or I was supposed to go to Japan, but due to commitments this year, I had to pull out on that. But, I definitely want to go back to it.
Shane, Xavier Player here. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, very good. Thanks. You talk about coming off the arm surgery, your command's feeling better than ever. Do you still feel that your best baseball's ahead of you?
Oh, look, I'd say so. I've heard a lot of people talk about maturing and becoming a pitcher rather than a thrower. And I'd say, from that perspective, yes, 100%. I've got no interest in being a 100-mile-an-hour guy or anything like that. You know, if that happens, that's great. But first and foremost, I want to pitch and compete and enjoy that sort of things. Looking at the radar gun doesn't really do anything for me anymore.
Shane, a lot of kids, you touched on an interesting point there. A lot of kids do get all consumed with that radar gun from an early age, and they believe that's the sort of the gauge for whether they're going to make it or not make it. Now yeah. that you're saying you're not that 100-mile-an-hour sort of guy, and maybe just pulled back a little bit in velocity, do you find you're getting more movement on your ball sort of when it gets to the plate area? If you're not throwing 100?
Look, I don't know about the movement sort of things. I apparently always had movement, and it's hard for me to tell what that's doing, but it allows me to use the lessons that I learned and the baseball that I've played and the experience. So if you're not throwing strikes in the ball where you want to throw it, you're not competing.
Yeah.
All that thing is a waste. All that knowledge is a waste, and you can't put it into practice. So although, yes, velocity gets you signed and it's all great and it makes you a prospect and all the rest of it, I've played with guys that are 104-mile-an-hour guys and 100 constantly and, you know, they fade out. They're a dime a dozen. Not a dime a dozen, but essentially there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And they never get to the big leagues and they're not going to have a sustainable career because they never compete. You know, you're susceptible to arm injuries. Obviously, I've had shoulder and elbow and hands and everything like that. And you know, there's plenty of guys that pay 10, 15 years and, you know, 88 to 92 mile an hour guys that get plenty of people out and earn a lot of money, you know. So velocity gets you there, but command's going to keep you there, I think.
Do you feel like you've had to reinvent yourself as a pitcher coming off your surgeries, or do you feel that you've still got a bit of the basis there that you had pre-surgery?
Oh, look, I still pitch the same way. It's just I'm able to execute it more, you know. I don't think I've invented myself, but I'm pitching instead of throwing and just, you know, instead of grunting and throwing harder and harder and harder, right, I just get ahead and make pitches and enjoy it and be able to read off, instead of getting caught up in the emotions, I'm reading the hitter and I'm reading the count and reading the situation, having clearer thoughts and more, more conviction and more ability to go after the plan and attack.
It's something few people, I reckon, Shano, would understand, but it's nice to have some real direction when you're out there on the hill and being able to make those adjustments. Not that I did it well, Fritter, but...
you did it okay, right?
But blokes like Shano, you know, he talks about dime a dozen. I don't agree. I think that, you know, you throw baseballs like this, kid, it's awesome. It's awesome to watch, and I'm really glad that you get an opportunity again, mate, to apply your craft at a level that you deserve to be at and beyond that. But, look, what do you know about honkball, Shano? I know you've played in it before a few years back now.
Long time ago now, mate.
Yeah.
Years ago.
It's, but look, I'm sure it'd be nice to reacquaint yourself with Amsterdam and get into some nice warm weather away from the dreary Melbourne stuff.
Yes. Look, mate, I'm looking forward to that especially. I'm slogging it out here in Melbourne in the cold and nice little getaway and I get to play baseball while I'm doing it. So to me, it's a dream come true, mate. I couldn't be happier. But I don't know much about the league, apart from the experience I had 12 years ago now, or 11 years ago. But I do remember them being quite passionate and quite a high level of baseball. I remember there being a ton of ex-big leaguers and stuff floating around, so it was quite a good brand of baseball.
Do you feel that your role on the team doubles as a mentor role, given your big league experience?
I definitely think whether it's formal or informal sort of role, I try and help out the young guys. I think there's always something that we've all got to learn and sort of pass the torch on a little bit. You know, I still think myself as a young bloke, but I unfortunately am not. But yeah, it's sort of that's how baseball survives and is passed on through the generations is experiences and a bit of passing on of different things.
Shane, I did say at the opener there that, of course, you played in the big leagues with the Chicago White Sox. It's a bit of a two-part question. First up, do you still follow Major League Baseball as closely as you did?
Oh, no, no. I do get onto the social media and the internet when I get a chance, but those that know me know I'm pretty flat out at work.
No problems, mate. Yeah. I get that. It's because we're a world away, you know, on the other side of the planet. It's hard to beat.
With the technology these days, mate, it's quite easy
to
somewhat keep up with the general, I suppose. The good big stories, I definitely am across, but apart from that, no.
And sort of the second part to it was, of course, you must have a soft spot for the Chicago White Sox. You must be pretty happy with the way they're travelling at the moment. Were you directly involved with Chris Sale at all? I mean, he's been phenomenal for them.
Yeah, Chris Sale's a ripper. He's a really good, down-to-earth sort of guy. And he came in, he had an extremely fast track to the big leagues. And he quite humble. And when I sort of got there, he was establishing himself very, very well in the back end of the bullpen. And the next year he took the leap to starting rotation and sort of couldn't be happy for the bloke. I think he's well deserved and he sort of knew what he wanted to do and he wouldn't let anyone tell him no. And the White Sox weren't real keen on him being a starter for the fact that they were worried about health and longevity and all that. But I think he's proven everyone wrong.
Sure has. He's been phenomenal for him the last 2 years, I guess.
Can you explain for us, Shane, that jump from going from the bullpen to a starter?
Oh, it's a totally different mental game and physical game. It's, you know, instead of being live every night, you've got to keep yourself somehow locked into the game and pay attention for 5 days until you're ready to go again. And then there's the dealing with... you have a bad start, you got 5 days to deal with it. You have a good start, you got 5 days till you can get there and do it again. You know, it's sort of, it's a totally different ball game. It's from a pitcher, I suppose, it's the way I looked at it anyway. I went from starter to reliever, so it's totally different.
Now Shano, it sounds like you've got some machinery going on in the background there, mate. What are you doing with yourself?
Mate, we're digging some basements out in Cheltenham at the moment, so we're breaking down piles and doing some detail and bulk excavation.
Little different to big league experience ballparks and big juicy spreads, mate.
Yeah, that's it. Mate, coffee shops around, mate.
It's your business, Shane. Give it a plug. What are you? Heavy machinery? What?
SLE excavation.
SLE excavations, mate. Look, really appreciate you coming on today. Just for those interested, of course, the Honkerball squad is heading off. Just this week, the tournament starts July 15, but you can get the coverage on the stream. I'll give the details out a little bit later on that. But, Shane, thanks very much for coming on this morning. Really appreciate it, mate. And good luck with this. Hope you get back there and throw a lot of strikes, mate. Good luck.
Yeah, cheers, guys. Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks, Shane.
Nice chat there with Shane Lindsay. Of course, as I mentioned through that, of course, pitching the big leagues with Chicago White Sox and on his way to Honkerball there in the Netherlands for the Australian, back on the Australian squad. Spearsy, you've been a teammate of Shane's sort of over the journey. I know he's sort of come and gone. You both had pro careers here and there, but there's no doubt this guy's got a powerful arm and probably, in my opinion, probably the most powerful arm we've produced here in Australia.
Yeah, I agree. I think Shane's a big, powerful guy and he has... amazing stuff. Like he really does. The ball flies out of his hand, and it's quite effortless.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't make it look like it's difficult.
Yeah.
Which frustrates a lot of us fellow pitchers,
first triers. Yeah.
But the one thing that really strikes me now with Shane is that, you know, he's a little bit older. He's married. He's got a little baby, and he's changed his approach to baseball. He's all about teaching. He's not about trying to absorb everything he can now, and it's all about me, which is common when you're an athlete.
Yeah.
You know, I think everyone sort of goes through that. Shane's certainly changed his approach, and well, he spoke about competing and wanting to pitch and get guys out, where once upon a time I think it was, well, I can throw 100 and I'll show you. Yeah. You know, so
do you think he was a bit of Bull Durham about him? In that, I'm saying, Ebi Cowbell-Lelouch, and they made a bit of a deal of it in the movie, in the scene where he said, I'm going to strike him out, I'm pitching with authority, I know I can get this. You need to be able to throw that strike. Do you think Shane had a little bit of that about him, and now he's matured, developed, experienced now?
Yeah, and like you said, you know, the velocity can get you there. Getting guys out will keep you there.
I thought that was a great comment.
And it's very true with Shane. I would have loved to have seen Shane, one, stay healthy when he was at in the big league level, because he did hurt himself. But I would, you know, now he's learning how to compete and how to get guys out, which is later on in his life. You know, he's now 30-odd. Mm-hmm. So he's sort of picking it up a little later than you would want if you're, you know, in his situation. But he's got it, and he's still got electric stuff, and I would love to see him get an opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Another one he said that of interest was that he had an opportunity to go to Japan. And generally a lot of young athletes will take any opportunity that comes by their way. I think you can hear it in Shane's voice. He heard the offer. He weighed up his options, as you mentioned now, the wife and young baby, and got a chance to pitch for Australia and all these sorts of things. So he seems to weigh up the and what's best for me, and then make a decision from there and move on. But a lot of guys would just jump at the opportunity to get to Japan and go over there and play. And just for those interested, of course, as I mentioned, the Honkball tournament in the Netherlands, the Australian team will be heading to that, and the tournament starts July 15 to 24. But if you want to watch any of the games, there will be a stream coverage of the Honkball tournament. They play Chinese Taipei on Saturday, 12th of July. That's a nice game, 10 p.m. That one, prime time for us here, if you like a little late night. The other games are a little bit tough. Game two is against Japan on Monday, the 18th of July, 3 a.m. Game three will be Curacao on Tuesday, the 19th of July, 3 a.m. Famous Curacao player.
Outfielder. That's going to hurt me. Yeah.
Game four versus the Netherlands will be on Thursday the 24th. Thursday 21st of July. That also is a 3 a.m. game. So Australia's four games: Chinese Taipei, Japan, Curacao, and the Netherlands. And good luck to the Australian national team. They're at the Honkball tournament. Andrew Jones is the guy you're trying to think of.
I knew who he was. I was just playing with us,
of course. Look, we're going to go to a break. Stick with us. You're on SEN Baseball.
This is Warwick Sopol with the Detroit Tigers, and you're listening to SEN Baseball.
And welcome back to SEN Baseball. We're now going to speak with Dean Marnell, former teammate of mine back in the old Monarchs days. He's the head manager of the Cal Ripken team heading over to the US to represent Australia. The tournament runs July 29 to August 6. But, Dean, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good. How, fellas?
Yeah, going good, mate. Listen, this Cal Ripken thing, what's the process been of getting this team together? You have finally picked your team/squad for the tournament. What's been the bit of the process leading up to the selection of the team?
Yeah, obviously, it's the age group around the little league age. So we couldn't pick any players from the team that won the tournament. So we picked pretty much everyone else. So I went up to the little league for the tournament for the first 2 days to have a look around and scout the tournament. And one of my assistants, Shane Watson, he was also there for the entire tournament, so we picked the best 15 players from that that we felt that could compete in Aberdeen over in Maryland. So it was a really tough team to pick. You know, we got it down to 30 and down to 20, and it was really tough. So eventually we came up with the 15 players, and all the lads are in training now, preparing for Aberdeen. We leave in a couple of weeks.
You mentioned you got to scout Little League, and I've just over the last couple of weeks on the show, I've talked about a lot of these teams that are crossing over. Just give me some clarification on it, because also right now there's the Senior Little League heading to Philippines, There's a junior Little League, which was won by Cronulla, and there's also the Little League World Series won by Hills, which is sort of your age group that you're talking about there.
Yeah, the one that was won by Hills. So it's like an under 12/13 age bracket. So
Does it hurt your preparation or selection that Little League World Series won by Hills? Of course, they're over in the US also, August 18-28. Has it hurt your preparation with all of these crossovers? Where have you been able to pick the kids that you wanted, or have there been some kids that you weren't able to select because they're in part of another team?
Look, there was probably one other kid that we were looking at Hills. They had quite a strong team throughout. They had a lot of depth, but probably their strongest players were in the New Zealand Cal Ripken team. So we weren't able to pick those kids. But, look, it's turned out really well for us. Hills are a very strong team, obviously, but we're very happy. We're going to have a very competitive team. So the whole thing now is the Little League, they don't get leads or anything like that. So when we get to Aberdeen, we need to teach these kids how to hold runners on, how to pick off, and how to take leads when they're base running. So that's the difference with the age bracket now. We've got 6 weeks to get those kids ready. And we have 4 days with them in camp before we play in the tournament over in Aberdeen.
Dean, Xavier Player here. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Sal?
Very good, thank you. What's it like to be able to give these young guys the news that they've made their first Australian team? What's that feeling like for you?
Oh, it's great. Like, just hearing their voices over the phone and their parents as well. I mean, yeah, it's a great experience for these kids that they're about to go on. For some of them, it's officially their first time making an Australian team. And we had some kids that are on this team were part of the under-12 World Cup team last year over in Taiwan. So for some of them, it's their second Australian team already. But, yeah, mate, they're jumping out of their skin. You can imagine 11 and 12-year-olds being told that they've just made an Australian team. They're pretty pumped about it.
Now, Dino, you've been the manager of this club for a couple of years now. Has the tournament changed much, and are we getting better at preparing ourselves? I mean, we as in you coaching staff. Are you better at preparing these kids than when you first started?
Yeah, look, it varies each year. Like, I think we're getting better. Obviously, the Little League concept does help where the kids are playing a lot of games leading up. I know the New South Wales guys, they have their state championships and they have little competitions going throughout leading up to their Little League championships. So they're playing a lot of baseball and you can see the improvement in the kids from that. There's a lot of elite programs happening in other states too for this age level. So yeah, I know New South Wales have elite academies for the under 12 kids and I know that WA do also. So you know, we're getting better each year. So, really looking forward to getting over there with this group of kids we've got.
How big a stepping stone is the Cal Ripken series for the kids as they develop into those higher age groups?
Yeah, it's a big stepping stone. The base pass for the Cal Ripken are 70 feet. So much bigger than what they have been playing at Little League level, and the game speeds up a little bit too. We're going over to Aberdeen, we're playing on AstroTurf infields. We've got kids that just, you know, you think about the teams we play against, Mexico, a couple of kids might be wearing moustaches, but, you know, so they hit the ball pretty hard and they run the bases pretty quick. The game really speeds up and it's a big stepping stone for these kids and it gets them prepared for that junior league level, the next step. And, you know, this is the type of group that, you know, in 2 years' time, we'll be trying to compete for a spot on the under-15 World Cup team. It's a good stepping stone for them.
Absolutely. Dino, you just mentioned there playing against Mexico and I instantly thought of the Senior World Cup, now called the Premier 12. Most of these international tournaments have points ratings on them which go towards the Premier 12 next time round. Is this Cal Ripken team, Australian sanctioned, and will you be playing for any of those points that will head towards Premier 12 rankings?
No, we won't be. Unfortunately, we're not playing for any points for the world rankings, but it is sanctioned by Baseball Australia. This team, we get the official Australia top, and Baseball Australia's right behind it. And look, it's a good stepping stone. As I said before, I've been involved in it now. I wasn't involved in it last year, but the four previous years I was involved with the Cal Ripken, and just seeing the kids that are now, you know, developed and are at academy at the moment up in Gold Coast. We've got so many kids up there right now that are, you know, have gone on to be, you know, 17, 18 elite players that were part of the Cal Ripken.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of guys that have gone on the side professional, you know, contracts, guys like McGrath with the Red Sox and even Darryl George, he was part of the Cal Ripken. And there's plenty of others that I'm not going to mention. So
yeah. Part of who else is part of the coaching staff there with you, Dino? Of course, you're the head manager.
Yeah, got a really strong coaching staff, mate. We've got Andrew Scott from South Australia, you know him, Fritter.
Yeah, former legend, South Australian baseball. I think he's in the Hall of Fame. Was a great player in the old ABL days.
Russell threw a lot of fastballs onto his bat. So
did you, Russ?
The only pitcher,
he's
mate.
Welcome.
He was probably one of the best hitters back in the day.
He sure was, yeah.
And we got Shane Watson from Queensland, mate, who's played baseball at the elite level also, and who's part of the development program up in Queensland.
Awesome stuff, Dean. Look, really appreciate you taking time to talk to us this morning. Do you bring out the occasional David Foxover impersonation just to humour the kids?
I do, mate. They love it.
Really?
They love it. They look at me kind of weird, but I get a few chuckles out of them.
Hey.
Ease the tension a little bit in the dugout, mate.
They're not the only ones that look at you weird. I can guarantee that, mate. No, Dino, look, appreciate you coming on, mate. Thanks very much. Just taking the time off refueling a plane. But the Cal Ripken team, as I mentioned, heading off to Aberdeen in Maryland, the United States. Tournament starts July 29 to August 6. Good luck with it all, mate. Hope you really go well, represent Australia and bring home the bacon, mate. Well done.
No worries. Thanks for your time, guys, and love the show.
Thanks, Dino.
Good on you, Dean. Nice work there from Dean Marnell, the manager of the national team for the Cal Ripken team heading to the USA for tournament over the next couple of weeks. Look, that's all we've got time for today. Thanks very much for tuning in, joining us behind the mic. Thank you, Xavier. Well done today, mate.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And Russell Spear, thank you for your time today, mate.
Fritter, Clubby, thank you, gentlemen. It's wonderful.
Terrific. That's all we got for today's show. Make sure you tune in to the All-Star Game and keep an eye out for the Honkball Games with the Australian national team heading over to the Netherlands. That's all we've got for today. So that's all we have here on SEN Baseball.
Thanks for listening to the SEN MLB podcast. For more SEN America podcasts, head to sen.com.au. To keep up to date with the latest American sports news and interviews from around SEN, follow SEN America on Twitter at SEN America and on Facebook at facebook.com/SEN America.